Old Guys Talk Metal and Sometimes Punk podcast.
Yes, welcome once again to the wonderful world.
Great to see you, Bobby.
The old guys, good to see you too, Diabolical.
How you doing?
And you know, there's always something wacky going on in the world of hard rock, heavy metal, rock and roll, punk, whatever.
We'd hope so.
There's always some crazy stories out there. And we love bringing them to you. We love to discuss them.
Yeah.
I know we're doing quite a bit of them lately, but it's cool because we like doing them. Hope you get a laugh out of them because a lot of this stuff is comical, and it really, really is. So today we're kicking it off with our good friend. We know him from a band called Kiss. We know how much he loves his moolah, his money. And we're talking about Gene Simmons, of course. And we know he's a guy who copyrighted the money bag with the little dollar sign on it because nobody else had it.
What?
He has the bag of money with the dollar sign. He copyrighted that I don't cover
emoji
icon,
or whatever.
Emoji, you know? Icon.
Really?
Image, whatever you want to call it. He went ahead and copyrighted it.
He's going to have to talk to he's definitely going to have to talk to Putin about that because I think that Putin definitely copyrighted that in Russia.
You think he did?
Dude, look.
Maybe he gave Russia a pass. I don't know.
Who knows?
But he did. We know how much he loves his money. And now his whole cryptocurrency thing going on, whether you believe it or not, people seem to be really diving into it. Is it the future? I don't know yet. It's my opinion. What do you think, Diabolik? The future? NFTs and all these things.
I think it's an iffy future.
Yeah, there's no really. It's so volatile you can't even tell.
I don't care about the volatility, but it's like you want to just put your money into air.
That's I mean, what I said.
Does it
there's
mean
nothing
anything?
You can hold? There's nothing you can physically have. Except like John 5 is putting out an NFT where you get a physical collectible with it. And you get all these different things to go with it.
Yeah, but so did Ozzy. Ozzy put out an NFT of these like digital bats that
were
so stupid.
Yeah, but he got ripped off.
I mean, there was what?
Well, it's Ozzy. He's in his 70s, man. He can't draw.
Right.
Come on, man. So anyway, what has got Gene Simmons got going on, man? Besides the end of Kiss, I guess. For the 85th time.
God help us. All right, we're still talking about Kiss.
Yes.
It's just a thing.
We're still talking about Kiss.
All right. So Gene Simmons is selling his house in Vegas.
He has a house in Vegas? Thought it was in... What about his house in L.A.?
I don't care.
Get another house in Vegas? We got houses everywhere, I'm sure.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he have a house in Vegas?
He's still with Shannon Tweed, I'm assuming.
I have no idea.
And all the Simmons kids.
$13 million.
$13 million. Where's it located? Pahrump?
I have no idea, man. I don't know. He lives in Vegas.
Somewhere behind the Bellagio.
So here's the thing.
Okay.
He's put up his multi-million dollar Las Vegas home for sale.
Good for him.
Current price tag is 13 mil, 0.5.
Chump change.
Whatever, for him.
Yeah.
Why does he bother selling it? It's like, dude, who cares?
I don't know. He's getting old and he's retired. I don't know. I mean, he's got bucks for Bahamas. I don't really want to.
So here's the catcher.
Yeah.
Here's the kicker.
There's always a catcher, Gene.
He's asking for payment in the form of Bitcoin. Right?
Good on you, Gene.
But listen. Here's where it gets weird.
Sure.
Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, Uniswap, Polkadot, Litecoin, AV, Tri, or a combination of the above. And we'd never even heard of half of these Bitcoin things.
I've heard of most of them, but is there one any like Shibu coin? You know?
Whatever. I
one
think
billionth of a cent.
He's throwing it out there with all the Bitcoins. All the different ones out there.
That's what he wants. Yeah. This is what he wants. So any combination of those gets you the house. You get the furniture with the house or just get the house?
Hell if I know. In a recent conversation with Blabbermouth.
Of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't he?
He shared, I've been an outspoken proponent of cryptocurrency from the beginning. That's what he says.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is the future of money.
Okay.
Good for you, buddy.
Sure. Because why would you trust Gene Simmons with your money? Why wouldn't you?
And it just makes sense to offer interested parties the option of using crypto to purchase the estate.
Yeah.
He bought it back in 2021, right? Last year. For $10 million. His decision to sell the house, for what he told the Wall Street Journal, is due to him and his family rarely spending time there.
Yep.
If it was me, I'd never go to Vegas. I hate that city.
Okay.
I lived there for a year. It was terrible.
Really?
Why would you live there?
Yep.
It's Phoenix without trees.
Yeah.
It's terrible, right? All right?
Sure.
This isn't the first time a musician has brought up the idea of cryptocurrency in real estate. Vinnie Paul's house was still up for sale. Avenged Sevenfold frontman M. Shadows presented the idea of fans going to buy the property using cryptocurrency.
Yep.
Right? So, folks, which one of you is going to step up to buy Simmons' pad with cryptocurrency?
Somebody is. Somebody will.
All right, so here it is. Kiss formed in 1973 and have become one of the biggest rock bands in all of history.
Yep.
In 2019, the band announced their farewell tour, End of the Road, consisting of 44 dates.
Yep.
The tour started in 2019, but has been extended due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yep.
My thought is this. This is my thought. You buy a house for $10 million, right? Sell it for $13 million.
Mm-hmm.
Sell it in crypto.
Yep.
You make a bold cash.
Yep.
Right? Get out.
Get out.
Because you know what? He's never been there anyway.
No.
I bet she's never set foot in the house.
Probably not.
And definitely not in the pool.
Yep.
Not with his makeup on.
No.
Nobody dives in the pool with that suit. You'd sink to the bottom.
Yep.
Think about it. That suit's got to be extremely heavy.
Probably.
With those boots?
Maybe.
How do you swim with those boots?
Well, you know.
Anyway, that's my first story for the day. What do you got, Bobby?
His hair might be a flotation device. I don't know.
Definitely not.
Hopefully he gets his little money, Bitcoin,
the
whatever.
Ruby red eyes.
Ethereum, whatever he's going for, man. Hopefully he gets it. Hopefully give him his money. Hopefully cash out right away because he's going to crash. Anyway.
Cash out
everybody
now.
Be mad and yell at me and tell me, no, it's the future. You know, people always tell me, you need to buy this. But nah, I'm fine. I'm cool.
I'm cool, man.
So I'm too old for that anyway.
I'm not.
So listen,
okay,
man.
You got a Bitcoin for
you're
me?
You're older than me. Okay.
Can you buy beer with Bitcoin? That's what I want to know.
No.
Can you just slap a Bitcoin on the table
really.
And be like, I want a beer?
You know, you can't physically have a Bitcoin. It's out there in the Ethernet.
Okay.
I don't know where it's at, but it's not real.
All right, talk to me, Bobby.
So anyway, can't physically hold it in your hand.
All right, there is my story. Go ahead.
Okay. So here we go, man.
I'm ready.
The battle between grunge and hair metal has been resurrected again.
No, it hasn't.
After Pearl Jam singer Mr. Eddie Vedder told the New York Times how much he despised the glam bands of the mid to late 80s.
Nice. Tell me all about it.
So Nikki Sixx, bassist for Motley Crue, of course.
All right, yeah.
The band Vedder named directly.
Okay.
Responded on Twitter with a dig at Vedder and his boring band, he says.
What? Tell me. Can't wait.
So Vedder says, I used to work in San Diego loading gear at a club.
Yeah, so did I.
I'd end up being at shows that wouldn't have chosen to go to. Bands that were monopolizing late 80s MTV. We know these bands. Monopolizing
the
airways.
Yeah.
The metal bands that are trying to be nice. I despise Girls, Girls, Girls and Motley Crue.
Wow.
Fuck you, he says.
Really? Sounds kind of like me.
Recollected Vedder when asked if traces of art culture explosion from the Generation X grunge movement were still present today.
You know what? I had an argument with people today about whether I was Gen X or not. And I'm like, of course I'm Gen X.
Yep.
I'm not Gen A.
Yep.
Did they start over?
I don't know.
After the millennials? Did
I
they
guess.
Start with Gen A again? I mean, what happened? Okay, go ahead.
I don't
Sorry.
Know.
Never mind.
So speaking more about the hair metal scene, Eddie Vedder continued, I hated it. I hated how it made the fellas look.
Wait, you're saying he hates Nitro?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I hated how it made the women look as well.
Yeah.
It felt so vacuous.
Yeah.
But then Guns N' Roses came out.
Sure.
And thank God at least something had some teeth.
Okay. Huh. I like this.
But he says, but I'm circling back to the one thing that I appreciated was that in Seattle, in the alternative crowd, the girls could wear their combat boots and sweaters, and the hair looked like Cat Powers and not Heather Locklear's. Nothing against Heather Locklear, he says.
Okay, that caveat. Go ahead.
Better instead of the grunge and alternative scene occupied by Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Nirvana, Jane's Addiction, and so many more.
Screaming Trees.
He says they weren't selling themselves short.
Huh.
They could have an opinion be respected.
Right.
I think that's a change that lasted, he went on. It sounded so trite, but before then it was busty ears. Bustiers for the girls.
Sure.
Not their combat boots and sweaters.
Sure.
The only person who wore a bustier in the 90s that I could appreciate was Perry Farrell of Jane's Addiction.
Well, he's kind of a woman, too.
He is.
Let me just point something out here.
Okay.
And I want to. I think that Eddie Vedder is right on this, which I usually don't agree with him. But yes, I do agree with him on this point. That if you look at most of the hair metal bands that came out with videos back in those days, it was like post-Armageddon, women in chains, ripped up with their torn stockings and their high heels on, post-Armageddon, you know, the world has crashed, everything's dead, everybody's going to die, nuclear Armageddon has happened, and now all we have is sluts.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Probably not real.
Yep.
Right? Kind of a trite way to look at life, if you think about it.
Yep.
But on the other hand...
Yep.
Girls in flannels and combat boots.
Yep.
Is that really exciting?
I don't know.
Just tell me.
He's playing this, it was seen as being derogatory. And of course, that was the time. You know,
of course, women, it's derogatory.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, these words evidently made their way back to Nikki Sixx.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, if he's still alive.
Who clapped back at Eddie Vedder on Twitter again. Nice. And says, disregarding Vedder's comments about the differences in the attitude towards women in the two scenes, Sixx, who late last year admitted Crew were most probably a sexist band in today's environment.
Oh, finally. Okay.
Replied, made me laugh today, Eddie Vedder did, reading how much a singer in Pearl Jam hated Motley Crue.
Mm.
Now, considering that they're one of the most boring bands in history, it's kind of a compliment, don't you think?
I agree with him.
So, furthermore,
I totally agree with Nikki Sixx on that.
Pearl Jam's guitarist, Stone Gossard himself in Pearl Jam,
sure,
has come to defense of Motley Crue.
Yeah, I would. I would, because you know
Stone
what?
Stone Gossard.
To me, Pearl Jam is boring as fuck. But see, go ahead. Go ahead.
So, on Tuesday, February 14th,
wow,
Gossard appeared in an interview with Revolver magazine.
Okay.
Amid other topics, the musician addressed Crue and clarified that he and fellow founding Pearl Jam members Jeff Ament and Mike McCready will enjoy that style of hard rock.
Yeah.
He added, even copped Crew's original version of the 1981 debut, Too Fast for Love.
Who doesn't love that?
On the band's independent label, Leather Records.
Yeah.
Before they even inked a major deal. So he was a Crew fan before they became real famous.
He's hell-bent for leather.
He did.
Yeah.
So he supported the Crew from the beginning before they even got a major deal.
Right. So Eddie Vedder, whatever.
So Eddie's in the middle of the rest of his band. There's Eddie Vedder in the middle. Pearl Jam likes hair metal. Except for Eddie Vedder.
I kind of agree with both of them in a certain way, but I'm kind of going to... Oh, man, really? Hmm.
So we know our story, we know Bob. Our good friend Sebastian Bach chimed in later.
What?
But I'm not talking about Sebastian Bach today.
We're not?
I'm not talking about Sebastian. No.
That's a great
story.
We'll
get back to him later.
That's literally a fish catching the fish story.
Yeah.
That is a brilliant story.
That is, man. Wow. So whatever side you take, hair metal, grunge, we like them all.
Yeah.
But hey... You figure it out. Is Eddie right? Is Nikki Sixx right? Who knows?
Who cares?
Who knows? Who cares? Maybe the world might care, but it makes for good news.
Personally, to me, Pearl Jam is boring.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Motley Crue, not boring. But, yes, Motley Crue, not necessarily, you know, the best in the way of women. You know, the way they treat women.
Yep.
You know, in the videos of those times. Definitely a problem.
Yep.
But.
Yep.
You know, there it is.
Yep.
I don't know what to say about that, man. That's perplexing.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
Who knows, man? But you got to hear it from here today. You heard it. Sixx versus Vedder.
All right. So I got one.
Yep.
Here it is.
You're laughing already.
Well, because it's Diamond Dave.
Ah, Diamond Dave, man.
Diamond Dave, we salute you, but the time has come.
He's just a gigolo, my friend.
Here it is. Diamond Dave quits.
Yep.
Diamond Dave quit.
We thought he quit many years ago.
No, it's over, man.
When did that happen? That happened
over.
20 years ago.
No, listen, here it is.
All right. Diamond Dave.
Right. Diamond Dave, come on. One of our heroes.
Diamond
Dave. A lifelong hero.
He is.
I mean, okay.
Survive Van Hagar.
After initially postponing the first two shows of his planned Las Vegas residency.
Yes.
Iconic former Van Halen frontman David Lee Roth. You know I'm not a Van Hagar. I'm a Van Roth. Has now called off his entire run due to concerns of COVID-19.
Yep.
Here he says.
Okay.
The series of 9 shows was billed as his farewell. Right?
Of course,
he's already in Vegas.
Yeah.
Doing his farewell, so whatever.
Yeah,
right? But,
yeah.
All right. I'm throwing in the shoes. I'm retiring. he announced in October.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They will now no longer presumably take place later.
Yep.
All right? All his shows have been called off. He was playing at the House of Blues. This is according to the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay, where I used to work.
Yep.
By the way, David Lee Roth said a funny thing happened on the way to Las Vegas. David Lee Roth will do no more shows ever.
Why is it a funny thing?
Well, it's just a funny thing happened on the way to Las Vegas.
Okay.
Right? I kind of understand why he doesn't want to do the Vegas residency.
Yeah, one time he last the show. He did with Kiss, and Kiss told him they can't
sing
anymore.
$1 million a show, dude. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But you got to sell tickets first.
Kiss fired him, too.
You got to sell tickets first.
Right. Sure.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
All I'm saying is that if you're a fan of Diamond Dave, you'll never see
unless
him
you're bringing
again.
Unless you bring Steve Vai and Billy Sheehan with you, I don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You know?
David Lee Roth is done.
You're just going to be just a gigolo the whole night? What's going to happen? Top hat and a cane?
He literally does
what not. What are we doing?
He can just drive around in a limousine all night and do whatever he wants.
Me wise magic? What's he doing?
I'm just saying.
Okay.
We'll never see David again on stage.
Well.
It's over.
That's fine. Because he hasn't been on stage. And I haven't seen him since the David Lee Roth band.
He quit.
Yeah. Okay.
David Lee Roth is done.
Happy retirement, Diamond Dave.
Love you.
We love you and bless
you. Love
you,
Diamond.
We love you, Diamond Dave. Bless you.
Yes.
Thank you for Van Halen and David Lee Roth band and all your fun times you gave us. And great music.
You give us a lot of magic,
heck
my friend.
Yeah. Well, still one of the best, greatest frontmen in all history of
ever.
Rock and roll,
ever.
Heavy metal, hard rock,
ever.
Whatever you want to call it.
Ever.
Ever. Yep.
Ever.
Sure is.
By
kudos
far.
To Diamond Dave.
Yeah.
Have a nice retirement, my friend. We'll see you in the afterlife.
Really? You're already getting him dead. He's not dead yet.
Well, I told him we'll see him. Someday we'll see him again in the afterlife.
Right.
Maybe he's playing stage in heaven. I don't know what he's doing.
But you know what? There's a certain part of me that understands where he's coming from in a certain way.
Yep.
Because if you think about like Britney Spears doing her run in Vegas or Shania Twain or Celine Dion or these other people, there's a part of me that kind of understands why he's like, "Where? Here's my last 9 shows I'm going to do. They're in Vegas. You know what?
Yep.
Fuck it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I don't want to go down that way. So he quit. He's done.
Okay. Well, Diamond Dave. Let's move on for Diamond Dave. We love him. We wish him well, man.
I miss your assless chaps.
Wish him your Mrs. Assless Chaps.
Yeah, it's true.
And Dave TV and all that stuff.
It happens.
All right, let's roll on, man. Maybe we got some heavy hitters tonight, some more wacky and crazy stories. Let's talk about Mark Lanegan.
We have to.
From Screaming Trees and Queens of Stone Age,
yeah, right?
And he died recently
at
age of 57.
Right.
What did we die of? We wouldn't know. We don't quite know. I mean,
well, he had COVID.
I mean, his Twitter account or social media account issued a statement yesterday, correct? Our beloved friend Mark Lanegan passed away this morning at his home in Killarney, Ireland.
Yeah.
Live in Ireland, huh?
Yeah, good for
a
him.
A beloved singer, songwriter, author, and musician. He was 57, and he's survived by his wife, Shelley. God bless her heart. No other information is available at this time. The family has everyone for, of course, you know, privacy. We're not saying what he died of, but we know Mark Lanegan. One of my favorite songs is Screaming Trees, Nearly Lost You There. What a great tune, especially from the single soundtrack and released by them, one of the great bands come out of Seattle.
Sure.
Seattle Sound.
Of course.
And, of course, over his career, Lanegan became a pioneer, of course, an icon, if you will, of the desert rock and doom metal scene.
Yes, he did.
The psychedelic grunge act they're calling Screaming Trees, we said. Are they doom metal, Screaming Trees, or desert rock? I don't know.
No, but Queens of the Stone Age definitely borrowed.
Yeah. So we helped shape the outer fringe of heavy music, and he brought it to the mainstream into the spotlight.
So
with Queens of the Stone Age.
Right. After Caius
comes
Queens of the Stone Age, and this guy was front and center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so with Queens of the Stone Age, he brought humanity to the outlaw rock we all heard during very strange times that were the turn of the millennium.
Yeah.
Turn of the millennium is kind of strange. The millennium turn, it got kind of weird, man, especially in music, too.
Yeah, I'm still weird from it.
So, I mean, everybody out there who loves Mark Lanegan, go check out. If you don't know Screaming Trees, check him out. Queens of Stone Age.
If you don't
he's
know,
a pioneering
if
icon.
If you don't know Screaming Trees, man, you know, I'm going to tear the fucking metal right off your breast. I'm going to tear it off you.
We're going to make you physically scream at trees.
I'm going to burn that tattoo off you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So God rest in peace. Mark Lanegan, 57.
Yes, 57.
And
man.
I guess we'll find out what he died of. I'm sure there'd be an autopsy or maybe leave, maybe not.
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter really to
doesn't
me.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter what should I have.
No.
So that's a little tidbit there. I mean,
we'll see it there.
We want to talk about him dying and sending out his condolences to his family and friends and fans.
Yeah, I just want to put it out there.
Yep.
All right.
You got it.
There it is. One more story for me. Do you have another story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you have
I guess so. Yeah, of course I
go
do.
Ahead. Give me another one.
No, I have a good one for the end. Give me it.
Okay, all right.
I always say it for the end.
Okay.
Go ahead.
He's always trying to one-up me, this Bobby V. All right. Iron Maiden and Kiss will be on the soundtrack to Marvel's new Guardians of the Galaxy game.
Coming soon, your Xbox, maybe Android and Apple.
Right.
Maybe on the PS5.
All right, the film series about the gang of interstellar misfits committing alternating acts of crime and heroism begins. Yep. It's bringing some big 70s rock guns to the fight every time. In fact, 2014's film soundtrack was certified platinum in 2017, by the way.
Yep.
Just know that.
Yep.
Now, Marvel has unveiled the first trailer for the Guardians of the Galaxy game, which have promised some really good metal acts on its soundtrack. Iron Maiden and Kiss.
Yep. Wow. Is Eddie in the game? There's no Eddie?
I would hope so.
I don't think so, because they have their own Legacy of the Beast game.
Right.
And actually, a bunch of Eddies in there, but actually they actually added Disturbed's mascot now in Legacy of the Beast game, if you didn't know that, for Iron Maiden. So if you like Disturbed, their iconic mascot, is now in Legacy of the Beast.
All right, so here
if you're a gamer, you know?
Here's the guy.
Okay.
Jean-Francois Dugas, senior creative director at game co-developers Eidos Montreal, outlined the new game's plot, playability, and yes, its music.
Mm.
I happen to be from Montreal, so I can say his name. Working closely with the team at Marvel Games, we took a deep dive into 50 years of Guardians of the Galaxy history, from comics to movies, animated series, and more, in order to create a fresh and unique take on this band of misfits.
Yep.
This also gives us an opportunity to pick and choose cosmic Marvel characters that were the best fit for the story we wanted to tell.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some familiar names, some probably you don't know, as well as some surprises. We can't wait for you to meet them. But of course, we got Iron Maiden, Kiss, New Kids on the Block.
What? I thought it was rock. And you're lying.
Rick Astley and more.
That's not rock.
I know, but Iron Maiden and Kiss is going to be in the game.
Yeah, but Rick Astley's in there too. All right. Never going to give you up.
That's not Rick Astley. Rick Astley is the guy from the Cars.
No.
You're wrong.
No. Rick Astley, look him up.
Let's look him up right now. You're totally wrong. No, it's not that guy. Rick Astley's from the Cars, dude. Let's just square this up.
Nope. You're wrong, 100%.
What?
Right there. Never gonna give you up.
What?
You don't know Rick Astley is? You grew up in the 80s, right?
Maybe I just put
together,
him out of
my mind. Together, cry for it. Yeah. Never gonna give you up.
Really?
Yeah. So once again, you're proven wrong by Bobby V. I know my Rick Astley.
I'm so sorry.
I know. That's
New Kids on the Block.
No, they keep them off of there.
They're on there.
Put Run DMC on there instead.
Somebody, anybody.
Anybody, man. Faster Pussycat. I don't care.
Faster Pussycat.
Bang Tango if you have to do it.
Nitro.
Nitro.
Would be great.
Nobody cares about Nitro. We throw them in there.
But it doesn't stop there.
Oh,
we'll have more to say about the music in our game soon. Anyway, I just want to throw it out there that Iron Maiden and Kiss are going to be in the new game.
Yeah, but they're going to hear, I'm never going to give you up. Oh, I'm going to say goodbye.
I'm so sorry.
Oh,
I was imagining living in stereo.
No,
I thought they were talking about the Cars guy.
No.
Never going to give you up, that guy?
No. That's him. That's him, all right.
Wow.
You know.
You're good, Bobby.
Talk about Rick Ocasek?
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, my God. How'd you get those two guys mixed up? Astley, Ocasek.
Dude, I'm a metalhead. Why do I care about these fags?
But you're so adamant about telling me I'm wrong. I love that. I love it.
It's just what
it
is,
I love proving
man.
You're wrong weekly.
It just is what it is.
I love proving you're wrong weekly. So here we go, man.
Let's do it.
From your friendly neighborhood, Bobby V.
Why? Wait, hold on. Hold on. Wait, I got something to say about this.
Okay.
There's no neighbor that loves you.
That's true.
In this neighborhood.
There, nobody speaks to me in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Why would they?
They shun me. I'm shunned.
I'm shunned. Well, it's because you have dark.
You know what it is?
You have a bat house hanging in the front.
It could be the giant bathroom stash you have in the front yard, too.
These people are Mormons. Why would they love you? They drive by your house, they drive right by it.
They disdain me.
They don't throw trash in the yard,
it's the irony of the friendly neighborhood.
Friendly?
Okay.
The friendly neighborhood Bobby V.
So listen, man.
Okay, go ahead.
What would a show be? What are these shows we're doing lately? Without a Friend, 10-Ton Terrible Ted.
Oh, no.
The Motor City Madman.
It's going to happen again.
The Nuge himself.
Again?
In the news again.
Okay, all right.
But it doesn't involve Sebastian Bach this time.
Thank God. Go ahead.
So he leaves Sebastian alone.
We got a Nuge story.
Nuge is always bothered about something.
He's up.
So we know how much he's right. Oh, he's like, wait to the left or to the right. He's anti-vaccine, even though he got COVID.
Caitlyn,
he's anti-Biden, all this
Caitlyn
stuff.
Caitlyn Jenner's boy toy. What is it going to be? What's happening?
So Ted Nugent has expressed his support to those involved in the recent Canadian trucker protest.
Oh, of course.
Saying they stand up for the best of humanity.
What?
Remember, now we have the Freedom Convoy coming through Arizona.
No, I know.
So if we continue on, it's really quite simple, he says. Hear all this talk about we're divided. Well, of course we are, he says. I'm divided between good against evil and dishonesty and rot and criminal corruption, which describes Fidel Castro Jr. He's describing Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Trudeau is Castro Jr.?
Yeah, Fidel Castro Jr.
What?
They're in the snowland, he says. He continued, though, apparently referencing a debunked claim that Fidel Castro was Trudeau's father.
What?
That he says.
What? Hold on. Wait. Slow down. What?
It was debunked, but he's referencing saying Fidel Castro was Trudeau's father.
Trudeau doesn't even speak Spanish.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
This is Ted Nugent, dude.
Okay, it's cool. Okay, go ahead.
He says, those are great, great people up there, he says.
In Canada?
Yeah.
Well, they're all vaccinated. Why does he love them?
They live by work ethic. And being the best they can be. And certainly, that describes the truckers here in America as well. I mean, I have campfires every hunting season with the Teamsters and with those truck drivers. Okay. I know these guys, he says.
No, go ahead.
I am these guys. So Ted's like a trucker now. I've got a big Zebra Ford Bronco with 900 horsepower underneath the hood that gives you exactly 600 yards to the gallon.
You live in Michigan, okay? Yeah. You don't live in Ottawa.
So he's got this big Ford Bronco, 900 horsepower, 600 yards to the gallon. 600 yards.
600 yards to the gallon?
So I'm going to go join these guys and make sure that the middle finger stays on fire.
Wait till the Mounties arrest him and put him in Canadian prison.
Because good people support him, rotten people are against him, and old Fidel Jr. perfected that.
Wow.
It ain't over yet. Hang on.
Okay. Whoa. Let me just hold on to that.
Ted's on a roll, man. He's on a roll.
Okay, let's hear it.
So addressing reports that Canadian authorities have froze the finances associated with certain individuals and companies believed to be involved in the ongoing protests in Ottawa, Nugent says,
what?
And I quote,
okay.
Well, again, I know these guys.
He does?
I hunt in Canada every year. I rock and roll in Canada every year since 1967.
Sure.
They really are the salt of the earth. But the dynamic here is very powerful.
Okay.
There is no more polite society. There is no more kind, goodwill, and decency than you will find in the citizens of Canada.
Well, why is he supporting these fucknuts?
I don't know. They have taken it, he says. When these polite, kind, tolerant people have had enough, there's an irrefutable indicator.
Whoa. Let me stop you right there. I'm Canadian.
Yes.
All right. So first of all, the Canadians are not nice, kind people.
Yeah.
Let me just point this out.
Okay.
Okay. So first of all, my uncle, three of my uncles were involved in every single war that ever happened between the United States and anybody because Canada is usually there first. So any war that the United States has been involved in, Canada is there with us, as well as Australia.
Yeah.
Right? Shooting guns. Right?
Yep.
These people don't care.
Yep.
They'll murder people in Afghanistan if people in America decide to murder people in Afghanistan. They have no problem with that.
Sure.
Right? Canadians are just as violent, just as mean, and just as weird as any American. Let me tell you that right off the bat. Yep. And first of all, if you think they're pussies and they're just benevolent people because they have a maple leaf on their flag, Ted, you got a big problem with me. You got a big problem with me.
It says they're polite.
They're not polite. They're not polite.
He said they're salt of the earth, though.
They're not salt of the earth.
According to Ted, they are.
These are dirty, weird, cold people that live just above the border. You know why? Because you can't get any further above the border unless you live in an ice sheet.
Yeah.
Right? There's 40 million Canadians live right...
I don't know if I lump all the Canadians into this.
40 million people live on the border of the United States, right? They live right across the street from Detroit, from Chicago, from New York, right? These people are not easy people to deal with.
Yep.
If he thinks that Canadians are just pushovers, just the nicest people he ever met, he's wrong. Yep. He's just plain wrong. Not only that, but Canadians usually have been involved in the wars before we even got in there.
Yep.
Right? Canadians were in Vietnam 6 years before the United States, right? 2 years in Korea before we were there, and 3 years before we were there in World War II. Mm-hmm. So take that, 10-ton terrible. I think you're wrong. And these truckers, let me hold on a minute.
Maybe their mother.
Let me calm down.
Maybe their mother truckers.
Let me tell you something.
Go ahead.
These people that were the truckers that, look. There's 20,000 long-haul truckers in Canada. It's not a big country, all right?
Yep.
In terms of geographical area, yes. In terms of population, no. They have probably less population than the whole state of California, right? But 20,000 long-haul truckers in Canada, right? 2% of them decided to post up along this bridge. And you know what they did? They screwed up a lot of money for the United States and Canada in our supply chain, right? Up to the point of like $500 million a day, right? Cars being built in Detroit could not be built because of these fucknuts over there that decided to join the Trumpenstein crew.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
These people are idiots. 90% of the people in Canada have been vaccinated, right?
Yep. Yep.
These guys are saying, stop. You know, because of anti-vaxxing, they're anti-vaxxers or whatever. It's literally 1% of those truckers. It's a miserable crew.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're total Trumpensteins. I don't agree with Ted at all. I disagree with Ted. Call me, Ted. Let's talk.
I'll call him.
Let's talk.
So I'm going to finish this sentence from Ted.
And go ahead.
What else are you going to say? So when he says, when these polite, kind, tolerant people have had enough, this is an irrefutable indicator that we really have had enough.
Really?
So Ted continues on.
Oh, I'm so miserable.
Ted says, I didn't invent the middle finger, he says.
Oh, really?
But I perfected it back in Detroit around 1958. And the citizens of Canada have found their middle finger, and they're setting it on fire, the middle finger on fire. And they couldn't be more proud of them, he says. I set the middle finger on fire and giving it to the man.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going, he goes, finally, I'm going to invite them to all come deer hunting with me this year.
Where?
Probably Michigan. I don't know. They're going deer hunting.
What?
Ted and the truckers and the mother truckers are going deer hunting. 10-ton terrible Ted news for the week.
I couldn't be more furious.
That's why we do this.
People think that Canadians are pussies.
Yeah?
But no, they're not.
No.
They're actually man-to-man, gun-to-gun with every single soldier that's ever gone anywhere in the United States.
You think Tennessee would be mad because they're messing up the Detroit economy.
You'd think that. And that's exactly what happened.
I don't know. You're in a tea here today, people. You make your own decision about what's going
I'm
on
so
in the world.
I'm so furious with 10-ton terrible Ted.
We've given you a bunch of great, great stories today. Pick your side. Discuss it. Think about it. Send us an email, oldguystalkmetal@gmail.com.
I got to go outside and have a cigarette.
Please go to oldguystalkmetal.com. For everything hard rock, heavy metal, and punk.
What a great story, Bobby.
And everything about us, the old guys talk metal sometimes punk, including all the podcasts are there. Go to oldguystalkmetal.com. Thank you for listening, people, and goodbye.
Woo!
Till next time. See you, Diabolical.
All right, brother.